Hey everyone, welcome to the Co-Church podcast. This is Bevan. Myself and my wife Tam are the pastors of Co-Church, and we are so glad that you're taking time to connect with us on this platform. Our prayer is that these teachings will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And so we would love for you to keep in touch, follow along on the journey, and just let us know how we can best serve you. So let's have a listen to today's teaching. Today is the start of a three-part series, which we call Future Church. It's us looking at the days ahead, lifting our eyes, and really hoping to shape who we are as a church and who we are becoming as a church. And if I could sum up the first 2 years in these three statements, we want to become a church that is deeply formed by Jesus. John chapter 15 is a foundational scripture. We can be formed by so many things in life. Typically, people are formed by what happens environmentally or circumstantially. In other words, it's an outside-in formation taking place. We want to anchor ourselves in Jesus and Jesus alone. That if there is anything that is best to form who we are as a church and individually, it is Jesus. And John 15 speaks about abiding in him as he abides in us, and that by abiding in him, we will bear fruit. We want to become a church that is the essence of community. Acts chapter 4 is the framing scripture in that, where it speaks of the early church, and in amongst this early church that was into the thousands in number, it was said that there was no unmet need amongst them. And for me, really, that is the essence of community. And I know it's a big statement. It's an idealistic statement that people on the outside looking in could say that really is community. And for those of us that are in the community, we can say sincerely and legitimately that this is the community that we desire. And then finally, we want to become a church that is known for restoration. Of all the things we can be known for, let it be restoration. Isaiah 58 is a key scripture in our church. We've spoken about it so many times before. It's at the back of our church building. And it speaks of people who will be rebuilders, restorers of broken homes. So that is our hope. We want to become a church that is deeply formed by Jesus. We want to become a church that is the essence of community. And we want to become a church known for restoration. Last year, at the beginning of 2024, I felt a particular phrase to speak into the Future Church series. And the phrase was simply pathways home. That everything of what last year was is to cut a pathway. A pathway is the most effective way from one point to another point. And that pathway for us is the pathway to home. And home is three things. Home is a person, home is a people, and home is a place. And we would know that person to be Jesus, that of everything we desire and hope for in home, it is found in Jesus. Home is also a people. It's a community that we find the representation of Jesus in community. This faith and following Jesus is not to be lived in isolation. It's actually best lived out in community. And so home is a people. And then we also spoke of home being a place for every single one of us when it comes to our families, when it comes to our friendships. Largely those are formed in a place, home being that place. And for us as a church, we've had an interesting journey with the place of our home. And for the very first time last year, we actually received what we called a special offering, a Pathways Home offering. And it was so encouraging to see the result of that offering, which is ultimately to go to the place of our home, that we would see an incredible future place where we can continue to see lives coming to Christ, community being formed. This year, a little bit different. I haven't really ever gone down this road for us as a church just yet, but I was thinking about 2025. The Future Church series, putting before us vision for the year ahead, and what is it that we wanted to frame the year with. And really, I came up with one word, the word increase. Now, I'm not sure what comes to mind when you hear that word. When you look at the actual definition of increase, It speaks of to become or make greater. It refers to the process of growing or expanding something. And that can be in the physical, like volume or size. It can be in the numerical, like quantities or statistics. But it also can be in the abstract, things like intensity or significance. And so for me, when I'm thinking about increase, I don't typically go to the quantitative or the numerical or statistical aspect of increase. Again, not that those things are wrong. If you look at the Bible, there is so much biblical precedent for increase in numbers, increase in quantity. You just need to go to Genesis chapter 1. God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." And there are so many biblical examples of God bringing blessing, and that blessing led to increase in number. You just need to look at the covenant with Abraham. You need to look at the covenant with Isaac and Jacob. You look at Noah. There were very specific covenants and very specific promises from God in relation to increase, specifically increase in number. But I didn't feel that that was the aspect of increase that I was led to frame 2025 for us as a church. I want to go rather to Romans chapter 5. And there's a lot of scripture here. I'm going to read it to you. Stay engaged, stay connected in this, because this is such a profound portion of scripture. And to give you a little bit of context, it's the Apostle Paul writing to believers in Rome. And what he's making reference to is the bigger picture aspect of sin and grace, the fall and our salvation. And he's referencing two people. The first person he's referencing is Adam from the creation account. Genesis, Adam, and really what took place in the decisions that were made by Adam and then the consequences of that. We would know it as the fall. Sin entered the world, that there was a separation from God. In the separation, the state of sin exists. And the consequence was ultimately for every single person born into the world, we were born into that condition. And then he references the work of Jesus, okay? The saving grace work of Jesus. And let me read it to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man," speaking of Adam, "how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ?" Verse 16. "Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment that followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people." Verse 19. "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase." And here's the statement that I really felt resonated with this word increase and for us as co-church in 2025. "But where sin increased, grace increased all the more." If you want to repeat a statement of any of this teaching, repeat that statement and let it settle within your spirit and believe for it in 2025. Grace increased all the more. Verse 21, "So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so when I'm speaking about increase, I'm really speaking about it, the increase of God's grace in our life. And I want to break it down into three teachings, three particular areas where I'm hoping to see, believing to see for you, for me, for us, this increase of God's grace and how it comes about in our life. And so today I wanted to emphasize increase in relation to the presence of God. We're going to talk about increase in presence, in practice, and in purpose. And so when I talk about presence, the presence of God, I'm talking about that manifest presence of God, that experiential, physical aspect of what the grace, presence of God brings into our life. It's us being present with God and being awakened and brought to life in His presence, that it would be the increasing grace of God by His presence in our life. In Exodus chapter 33, we have Moses having an intimate moment with God. And really, we know the story of Moses, that he was called upon by God to fulfill what could be seen as mission impossible. Seriously, like one of the craziest responsibilities entrusted by God, that it was he would be used by God to bring liberty to an entire people group, the people of Israel, the Israelite nation. Because at this time, the Israelite nation was held in captivity in Egypt, and they had been held for generations. And so there is this liberation brought to the people of God. They come out of Egypt, but now they are on the way to the promise. And I love the Exodus story only because it can be so associated with our story of following Jesus, that Jesus is the one who brings liberty into our life, that for all of us, we were at a point oppressed, enslaved by the state of sin, and we needed freedom, we needed liberty. And Jesus is the one who brings liberty and freedom into our life. And so we follow him into liberty, we follow him into freedom, we follow him into the promise. And that is the grace of God, which brings about salvation through our faith and following of Jesus. And so we can liken our lives to this big story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and now walking their life towards the promise. And so they find themselves in this in-between time. We know that the Bible refers to it as the wilderness. They would have walked through the wilderness to get from oppression to a place of long-term freedom, that they would settle in the promises of God. And in Exodus chapter 33, Moses is now having an intimate conversation, a time of being in God's presence, a time of prayer, a time of conversation, a time where God is imparting something to him. And I love it because Moses is just being real with God. You can imagine the stress, the anxiety, the pressure that might be upon Moses' life. And perhaps even for you, as you look towards 2025, you look towards the year ahead. Maybe it's so intense right now, you're simply looking at the day ahead or the week ahead. And it's a heavy burden. It's stressful. There's anxiety. There's challenge and strife before you. And it's something heavy that you are carrying. Listen to this account, this exchange between God and Moses. In Exodus 33, verse 12, Moses says to God, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me." Verse 13, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence." Remember, we're talking about increase and increase in the presence of God. "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." I love that in the presence of God, there is rest. Notice how there is still a going. Notice how there is still a moving. Notice how there is still this mission being fulfilled, but it is being fulfilled in the presence of God, which brings about rest. And we can be going from a place of rest. Then Moses says to him, If your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? There is something that should distinguish us as followers of Jesus. So what is it? What is it for you in your workplace? What is it for you in your home? What is it for you in your friendships and relationships? Following Christ will bring about a distinguishing state in our lives. The presence of God bringing about a change and a transformation and an empowering and a strengthening, which others can look to and they can see something different. And Moses is calling God to impress upon him, what is it that is going to be about us that distinguishes us? I know that it'll only come about through your presence, God. Not in our own strength, not in my own strength, not in our ability, but because you are with us. Your presence is with us. And by this, we will be distinguished from all the other people on earth. Verse 17, and the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Increase, something which is made greater, more intensity, greater in significance. And this presence of God is something that I feel so strongly about to impart to us, to lead us into, to put a spotlight on, to emphasize. How does this take place? Well, there are so many examples of the presence of God being made manifest in people's lives and so many scriptural references. If you just look at Isaiah chapter 40, it speaks of a hope in the Lord, renewing strength. Psalm 40 speaks of a patient waiting for the Lord, bringing about the presence of God. Psalm 37 speaks about trusting in the Lord or delighting in the Lord, being still before the Lord, bringing about the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 11 says it like this: by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's the one thing that God looks to. Goes on to say this in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. To put it very simply, the presence of God is made manifest in us collectively, in us individually, simply through us seeking and wanting his presence in our life. God is where he is wanted. It really is as simple as that. And so the call to us, something that I want to speak into who we are, is to stir up our earnest seeking of God, our hunger, our thirst, our searching, seeking, yearning for God. And I believe that God will make his presence felt, that he will bring about his ever-increasing grace into our life as we earnestly seek him, as we want him in our lives. And so what that's going to look like at a very practical level, even when it comes to our gatherings, our church services, we need to be taking some risks. We need to be creating some space. And that'll play out in a unique manner every time we get together. But it is something that through 2025, I want us to grow in. I want us to grow in the risk of faith, the risk of waiting on the Lord, the risk of searching, seeking, earnestly seeking God. And then to give it space, to give it time. Not rushing into anything, not manipulating anything, not trying to orchestrate or contrive the presence of God, but to be sincere in it. that as we want him, as we seek him, as we are earnest in our seeking of him, we have faith that his presence will be made manifest. What we need to approach this with is also a heightened expectation that we expect God to make his presence felt. That every time we get together, that's us in our church services, getting together in smaller groups, whatever scenario it is, that we come into those environments with a desire to seek God, to want God and his presence, to have high expectations, to elevate those, to elevate our expectation for his presence. But the key thing with this expectation is actually to have expectation without an agenda, without us determining what that's going to look like. That we would have a clean slate, that we would remove agenda, that we would remove stereotype or how things have been in the past, that we would simply be present in his presence. And then with heightened expectation, no agenda of how we are hoping to see God move, how we are hoping to see his presence in our life. Time and space, risk, expectation without agenda. We want to see this year an ever increasing, a greater portion, a more significant, a more intense presence of God. Can I pray as I bring this to a close? Father, right now, we look to you. We open our heart to you. We choose to seek you with all of our heart and with all of our life. We trust in you. We have hope in you. And we are so thankful that through our faith in Jesus, we can come to you confidently and boldly and freely to seek your presence in our life. Lord, I ask for us and for us as individuals that we would be awakened to your presence, that there would be an increase of your presence in our life. And we choose to be present with you. And I pray for everybody in our church, everybody listening to this message. May we experience your goodness and grace. May there be an ever-increasing grace in our life. Make your presence felt. In Jesus' name.